cannot have a positive life with a negative mind. Being grateful allows you to stay on that positive side and positive aspect of life where you are anticipating only good to happen to you. And when bad things happen, which sometimes our lives have to be completely shaken up, changed, rearranged, relocated, I mean, so that we can get to the place that we are meant to be. So what does that mean? It means that people cannot focus on gratitude at those moments when lives are being shaken, changed, and things are changing. At that moment, you don't find anything that you can be grateful for. But guess what? That's the time that you need to, you know, to be still and find out how you can, you know, be grateful for just being alive, for just being able to be shaken and changed around. Because by doing so, you start to see yourself in this new you that you are becoming.
Life is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God. Well, in a world where challenges are plentiful, it's easy for us to feel discouraged. Yet with enough guidance and support, most people can achieve more in life than they ever dreamed possible. Well, beyond your fears is everything you ever dreamed of. But the Dr. Stem Show will give the voiceless a voice and the hopeless hope. And now, here she is, Dr. Stem.
The best gift that you can give to yourself and those you care about is a healthy you, a balanced you. Wellness is more than just working out. The dimensions of wellness include physical, spiritual, emotional, professional, and social aspects. The question is, how do I balance it all? That's what most men and women out there are asking themselves. How do I balance my spiritual, emotional, professional, and social aspect? As you all know, wellness is a day-to-day progress. You have to learn and understand your body, mind, and spirit. Today, I'm excited to have a wellness expert, a publisher, editor, and fellow host here on America Out Loud Network, Linnis Woods Mullins. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dr. Stem. It's so wonderful to be here. I'm excited to be able to speak about my favorite topic, wellness, for women and for men, and the importance of that mind-body-spirit connection.
I made sure, you know, thank you for saying that. I made sure I included the men because your show is for women over 40, right?
Yes, it is. But I always say that my show and my coaching practice and the products that I produce are for women over 40 and all the people who love them. So
I like that. I like that. Women over 40 and the people that love them. So it's also for those parents out there that love their teenagers and your teenagers. So everything that we're going to share here is for the whole family so that we can talk about wellness. So I'm excited to hear that. The other thing that I know is a lot of women, especially in the corporate America, and they're working in corporate America and not understanding how do I balance my position here in the corporate world as well as, you know, in the house. So I'm excited too that we'll have, you know, one or two things that they can take home with them. So just to start off, let me just, you know, tell the people about, you know, who you are. And the way that I like to do that is, I know we spoke a little bit about your show. Tell us a little bit about the show that you're doing and the work that you're doing now.
Well, I am a holistic living and wellness expert. And as you mentioned, I specialize in working with women over 40. And I have a myriad of projects that I do to help educate women on the importance of wellness and the importance of adapting some holistic ways to be well. And I do that through my radio show, my podcast series, What's Inside You, Mind, Body, Energy, that is on the America Out Loud Network and heard on hundreds of stations. And also my live stream show, which is the Wellness Woman Show. It's a video show, and we get to hear stories from women who have been through some kind of trauma or experience that has brought them to become advocates of wellness. I also communicate messages of wellness to women over 40 through my online magazine, Wellness Woman 40 and Beyond e-magazine. So I stay pretty busy. And I think the thing that I love about what I do is that every day I learn something new and I get a chance to speak to powerful women just like yourself who are also passionate about sharing that message of health and wellness to women and to men as well.
You're right. And I remember when we were preparing for this show, we spoke about how you started and, you know, decided to leave corporate America. Can you tell the audience why you left corporate America?
Yes. It was an event. I had an event and then an epiphany. And basically, I was an executive with an HMO, and I was doing very well. I seem to have had all the things that, you know, you think one would have that would be what is considered the American dream. You know, I had a wonderful home. My kids were almost all in college. I had one still home that was in high school, a great husband, car, swimming pool, tennis court, the whole shebang, and a great job. Well, one morning I had a meeting that was kind of stressful. I was meeting with my boss and his boss, and we were going over the idea of staff rejections, not because we weren't doing well in terms of our bottom line, but they wanted to do even better. So the way they thought they would do that is to begin to trim the fat, as they say, from the staff. And there was one person in particular that they wanted me to lay off. And she had had some performance issues, but I knew the rest of the story. This was a woman who had was recovering from cancer, who just got through going through a really difficult divorce, had a teenager who was pregnant and had just had a baby. So she'd been going through a lot, and she happened to have been like maybe about 45 or 46. So she was definitely the woman over 40. And she was stressed out, and it was beginning to show up in her work. I knew that with some intervention, she would be better. But they weren't interested in that. They were looking at ways to get rid of folks, and so they wanted me to do that. I was able to advocate for her and buy some time for her, but I tell you, that really affected me more than I knew. The next morning, when I woke up, I was crying. And I thought, well, this is a bad dream that I don't remember. I'm sure, you know, and I tried to pull myself together, but Dr. Stem, I couldn't pull myself together. Yeah. Finally, I called into work and said I wasn't going to be coming in. And I did something that I never do. I disconnected I turned off my cell phone, didn't answer my home phone, turned off my pager, didn't plug in my PC. I got rid of all the tentacles and just was in my bed crying. And one of my daughter who's still at home, came home from school, and she didn't have her key. And so she's, you know, ringing the doorbell. I'm not answering it. And she's knocking on the window and all that, until finally she goes around to the backyard, and where she could see the master bedroom was downstairs, not upstairs. And she could see that I was lying in the bed. And you know, I said, oh, it's you. And so I go and I open the sliding glass door, and she says, Mom, what's wrong with you? I said, oh, nothing. She says, Mom, you're crying. I said, oh, no, I'm not crying. She says, Mom, yes, you are. And I said, well, yeah. She says, what's wrong? I said, I had a bad day at work. And she said, bad day at work? You didn't go to work today. And I said, no. And as she's saying this, I'm still crying, almost hyperventilating. She says, Mom, you're scaring me. I want to take you to the doctor. And I said, no, I don't want to go to the doctor. You know, she called my husband. He came home, and he insisted that I go to the doctor. So I did. I went to the doctor. And it was a little embarrassing because it was at, you know, the hospital where my offices were located. But, you know, immediately the ED doc, the head of ED came down, and, you know, the head of the psych department came down, and they were all concerned because they've just never seen this side of me ever. I've been working there for 6-7 years, and they've never ever seen me anything but up all the time. And so when they finally did their evaluations, they all came to me and they said, Lennis, you're exhausted. And you need to take a break. And I said, I don't want to take a break. You know, I'm in HR. We don't ever take breaks. We only take long vacations, but we don't take breaks. We don't, you know, don't call in sick. Don't do any of that. They said, no, you need to take a break. So it was my husband who finally talked me into doing something about it. So I took a sabbatical, which is something you can do in the health industry. And I was lucky enough to do it with pay for 1 year. And in the course of that year, I discovered some things about myself. First of all, I was diagnosed with a anxiety disorder, and I had mild depression. And I also realized that I wasn't happy.
Yeah.
Even that I had all the things that one would think would make me happy, I wasn't. And I decided to take out the time to find out what was wrong, why I wasn't happy, and what I needed to do to be happy again.
Right. And you know what? I mean, you state some facts that I think a lot of women and men out there do not take, or consider when they're feeling tired, when they're feeling exhausted, to take some time and maybe even find out that it's not just pure exhaustion that's going on with you. There's even more that is going on with you that can be treated, that is treatable.
Yes, and that's what I found out through several things. First, of course, I was in therapy for a while, and I also took medication for about 6 months. I think that medication has its place, and for me personally, I felt that it helped me to be able to receive the therapy and to do the work that was necessary to get well. And when I got to a certain point, about 6 months or so, I stopped and used other modalities. And it was in the process of using these other modalities that were holistic that I discovered that I had a passion for finding out more about, well, what's this holistic thing? What's wellness? What does it all mean? And so I took that time to go back to school and get certified in holistic health and life coaching and some other things, and decided that I would hang out my shingle. And that's when PraiseWorks Health and Wellness was born. And at first I thought that I was going to teach women how to praise dance, because I'm a dancer. My other life, I was a dancer, and I've been dancing now for 50 years. I'm dating myself, but I was dancing in the embryo.
Wow.
But I've been dancing for many, many years. Actually, I started dancing when I was 4, so more like 55 years. But anyway, I thought I would teach praise dance and teach women how to move through their soul, through their heart. And I quickly found out in my very first class that I had that, first of all, there was a need for it. My classes were always full, but these women seemed to have needed so much more than that. They were hurting emotionally. I had a couple of cancer survivors, a few widows in there, people who were retired and dealing with the empty nest syndrome, others who had high blood pressure, lots of obesity issues. And so I began to think, gee, what kind of programs and things could I put together from a wellness perspective that could help women basically heal their lives, their mind, their body, and their spirit? And that's when I began to come up with the Wellness Woman 40 and Beyond concept and vehicles that would help educate women on different ways from a holistic perspective that they could heal themselves. And also always with the idea of keeping an eye on the importance of what we put in our bodies, nutrition, and also how we move our bodies.
You're right. Let me just, put a disclaimer. I think for those of you that are listening in on this show where we're talking about wellness, as you heard, because I know some people will just hear what they want and then say, well, you know what? I heard that lady, Lynn, is saying she only took her medications for 6 months and then she went and did alternate medications. What happens is we have to, emphasize that you do go to see professionals, your doctors, get assessed and then stabilize yourself, because nowadays what we do as well is your holistic wellness can be incorporated in your treatment when someone else is seeing you for either therapy, for counseling, or your physician. So I just don't want people to say, well, you know what, I just went for holistic without having been diagnosed or having known what is really going on, because we're in the United States and I love this country, because then the testing and everything is up to par and most people have insurances that you can use to get tested and then to make sure that you get the right treatment in you. So we're talking about, you were getting to talk about, how you started PraiseWorks. What have you learned about health, wellness, stress, and anxiety in you operating this business so far?
Well, let me say that the majority of the things that I teach or that I talk about are things that I have found that have worked for me, and things that I have found have worked for the hundreds of women that I have worked with over the last 8 years. I have never advocated the fact that you don't work in conjunction with a traditionally trained medical doctor, because it's important that you get diagnosed and that you take a look at what medicinal treatments are out there from a more traditional standpoint. But it's also important that you take a look at the causation. And many times our causation is rooted in things that sometimes traditional medical doctors don't even look at because they're not trained that way. So I think an integrative approach to your treatment, whether you're suffering from anxiety or depression or stress or whatever the ailment might be, even a physical one, it's great if you have that opportunity to be able to approach it from an integrative method. There are doctors out there who are medical doctors who use an integrative method, or sometimes they work in conjunction with a holistic doctor to be able to make sure that you're given the opportunity to take a look at whatever it is that's going on in your life that's causing you to be ill, whether it's emotionally or mentally or spiritually or physically, whatever it is, to see what might work specifically for you. When it comes to wellness, it is a very personal thing because everyone is different. And one of the things that can sometimes be dangerous, in my opinion, in traditionally trained doctors, is that because of the amount of patients that they have, especially if you're in a managed care environment, your insurance is managed care, they're going to tell you things that are falling more in the general category or on an average basis, that kind of thing. And sometimes you fall outside that. Sometimes the things that they might prescribe for you or have you do don't always work. So I want to make sure that I take the time to advocate for the fact that it is important that you show up in your care, that you take an active participation in the treatment plan that a holistic doctor gives you, a medical doctor gives you, whoever it is that you're working with, that you educate yourself and that you advocate for yourself, because sometimes they don't always know what's working and what's not working. So it's important that you not take the approach that whoever you go to, that I'm just going to let them tell me whatever, and then, you know, and then just start taking the treatment without really questioning whether or not it's working for you. That being said, I have found that with stress and anxiety, the two kind of go together. For me anyway, that there are some key things that I do from a holistic perspective that I recommend that people take a look at that can help with the symptoms. Causation, I think, always starts with getting that therapy and digging deep and finding out what's going on. Occasionally, it can be something that's hormonal or something that's a vitamin deficiency. But many times, it's the symptoms sometimes that we first have to kind of find a way to alleviate so that we can focus on getting the causation. So from a wellness perspective, one of the things that I always want to try to take a look at is our nutrition. What are you eating? What are you putting inside of your body? What you eat is what nourishes your organs and keeps you going. So it's really important to take a look at that. And then another thing that's really important is from a spiritual perspective, what are you doing for your own self-love and self-care in terms of just taking good care of you from a spiritual perspective, taking that quiet time that is necessary, refeeding and refueling your spirit, whether it's from a religious foundation or some other foundation, whatever one works for you in terms of finding those things that help you feel better about yourself. I think those things are key when it comes to dealing with stress and anxiety from a wellness perspective.
You're right. And you know what? I also like the fact that you emphasize that people take, you know, control of their own health and looking at, you know, the results, asking questions and taking charge. I know I'm an example of those people that didn't know much. I went for the past, I don't know how many years, went and did my physicals with the doctor, and all I knew was, you know, I was given a clean bill. Oh, everything is fine. All your, you know, blood work and everything came out fine. So have a great year. We'll see you next year. And I, you know, I thought everything was fine. And then I moved to Florida 6 months ago. And the first thing that happened was I was diagnosed with high blood pressure and diabetes. And I thought, wait a minute, where did this come from? I just came here 3 weeks ago. And they said, do you have your, you know, medical report from last year, and I gave the doctor the medical, and he says these numbers are indicated, you know, indicative of a diabetic person. So you should have been put on medications when this, you know, physical was done in January of 2016. So you shouldn't have been in September now without medication. So you see, I learned a lesson then that, you know what, I trusted the doctors and thought that because I was given a clean bill that I was okay. So the sad thing about diabetes is it's a silent killer. So for those of you that are listening out there, I concur with you that take charge of, you know, your treatment, as well as learn about all these results that you're getting, because then if I knew how to read them and what all those, you know, blood pressure levels and everything were, I probably wouldn't have waited a year. I would have known myself.
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. We invite you back to AmericaOutLoud.com to get all the latest. Make it a daily stop and also get the app. You can go right to the App Store and download our free app, and that will put all our content right into your hands on your phones and your tablets. It doesn't get any easier than that.
One of the things that people struggle with a lot, Linus, is, you know, health, fitness, like exercising. Everybody doesn't have time to exercise, and some try to exercise and then, you know, stop in the middle, you know, of the regimen before they can go on, because there's so much to do and, you know, so many responsibilities. How can you help, you know, those people that are saying, how important is it for me to exercise?
I think it's really extremely important. I guess you can look at it this way in terms of the time that it takes. You either put the time in on the front end or you put the time in on the back end. And I guarantee you that the front end is a lot more fun than the back end. And by time, I mean the 30 minutes or 30 minutes some odd time that you might spend a day, which is what is recommended, moving, versus the months, the weeks or the months that you might spend in a hospital or recovering from surgery or having to deal with the result of not having taken care of you when you had the opportunity when you were younger. So I think that it's, first of all, it's never too late to start a movement regime. But of course, especially for the parents who are listening to this, it's wonderful to begin to instill these in our children. And I think it's important to instill these principles as parents, because the schools no longer have the budgets like they used to for physical education. I remember when I was in school here in the United States, of course, they had the presidential fitness program, and you had to do certain things in order to earn that patch, you know. And everybody was exercising, everybody was moving. It was a great program. We don't have those kinds of things anymore. I know just recently, First Lady Michelle Obama had a Just Move program, and I was a part of that program. I was an advocate for that program because they got into the schools and made movement fun. And I hope that we can continue something like that again with the current administration. But even if they don't, I think all of us are beginning to realize that there's going to be changes. But that doesn't mean that we cannot still do the things that are necessary to stay healthy. Movement is important because, first of all, we were created with joints. We're not meant to be stick figures. We're supposed to be able to move. When we're not moving, then that means the blood isn't flowing the way it could be flowing to our organs. And we need that. That's how the organs get nourished. If that blood flow stops and you begin to start having problems, because we are a sedentary society, we really want to make it a priority to move. And that 30 minutes a day, if necessary, you can break it up 15 minutes here, 15 minutes there, just as long as you're moving. You don't have to be acting like you're training for a marathon, or you don't have to be the one that can do 100 sit-ups or do a plank for 5 minutes. That's not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about doing something that you might enjoy that involves movement. One of the things that I do with some of my clients that just don't like exercise, they don't even like the word exercise, and I get it. I can understand why they may not. You know, if you have to go to the grocery store, maybe go a little bit early and park the furthest away that you can, and then walk up to the grocery store and cover the whole perimeter, all the aisles of the grocery store. Believe it or not, that's movement, and your body loves that. Now, I'm not saying that while you're in the grocery store, fill up the shopping cart with all the stuff that you pass. You gotta have some discipline there. But cover the whole grocery store.
If you know
what you can do is listen to your iPod or your iPhone or your Android and turn it to your favorite music and walk. What I do at the grocery store, which drives my friends crazy, but I love doing it. I like to dance to the music in the grocery store. I know I get some weird stares, but oh well, it's my health. I like doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is when you're moving, especially if you're dealing with anxiety, stress, or maybe mild depression, it gets those endorphins, or what we like to call happy hormones, going, and you feel better. Your body wants to move, and when it doesn't move, the chances of those feel-good hormones coming into play are a lot less. And that's why it seems like the longer you wait to move and the more you get sedentary, the more you seem to hunker into that, and it gets that much harder to pull yourself out of it. So I would really like to share with your listeners that if you can find a way, make it a priority to maybe do 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the evening, no matter what it is, whether it's walking, doing yoga, maybe doing swimming, strength training, you know, doing some hand weights, whatever it is that you can do to get moving, it will fare you well in terms of your overall wellness and how you're feeling in your body. It will make a huge difference.
You're right. You're right. You know what? You know, once you're talking like that, I was thinking of my mother. My mother is 73 years old, and she has taught me more about wellness than probably, you know, the books could teach me, because she's one of those people that was told, she has diabetes herself, and she was told how important exercise is, especially when you have diabetes. And guess what she does? She wakes up and exercises with the exercises on TV, on cable, on the exercise channel, and she does yoga, and sometimes she does the walking, but every day she's doing at least 30, some days an hour of walking at 73 years old, I mean, without fail. And when it's nice outside, because, you know, I mean, we used to be in Boston, when it was nice outside, she would be outside walking around, you know, I mean, just walking around. So that was one way that really taught me that it's possible. And for me, I had to change the way I think about exercise. I couldn't say, oh, exercise, or just hear the word exercise and you start rolling your eyes. Once you do that, your mind and your body, everything is, you know, it weakens up and says, well, you know what, I guess it's not something that, you know, is important to you. So the minute I said, you know what, this is good for my health, I feel better about exercising, I'm excited about exercising, I walk, I go to the gym, and I do it because now this is something that is, you know, something that I want to do, that I enjoy doing. So the other thing that, you know, also has helped me is Kelly, one of our presenters that passed away, you know, last year in November. She had a podcast that I was listening to, and Kelly said, listen, what I learned to do was to put a pair of sneakers outside, you know, I mean, my door, and sometimes right by the side of my bed, so that when I wake up in the morning, I have my sneakers ready and there's no way I could go to the bathroom or go anywhere without stepping over them. So I have to step in them and then go exercise. Wow. Such a great, you know, idea. I started doing that, and guess what? I can't go anywhere without having to wear those sneakers early in the morning. That's the first thing that I do. So we are talking to Linus Woods Mullins today, and she's a wellness coach. We're talking about wellness, the importance of wellness. And as you've heard from her, she also was diagnosed with anxiety and mild depression after a while. And it was important for her to accept that diagnosis and take that care in her own hands, where now she has a business and some programs that she helps women, especially over 40, to take care of themselves. I'm wondering, what role does gratitude play in reducing stress?
Oh my goodness. I truly do believe that gratitude is one of the most fulfilling ways just to feel better in our spirits. I think it's important that we learn to flip the script, and instead of focusing so much on all the things that aren't going right, begin to start focusing on some of the things that are. Now, initially, when you're stressed out or when you're anxious, it's hard to even think about that, because you're so wound up in, you know, in how you're feeling and how bad things appear to be. And one of the things that I always advise people to do is, first of all, lean into how you're feeling. I mean, admit that's what it is. Pushing it down or away or trying to deny it just makes it worse. At least that's been my experience. Instead, I learned how to kind of lean into it and say, okay, this is how I'm feeling. So what am I going to do about it? And I began writing. I at first began just writing in my journal about how I was feeling, because it was kind of cathartic. It kind of just got it out on paper, got rid of it. And then I began I had someone on one of my shows that talked about the importance of gratitude. And I experimented on myself. And I felt so much better when I took the time to think about those things in my life that I'm grateful for. Those things in my life that I'm thankful for. And at first it started out small, because it was hard for me to think, you know. She said to write down anything, no matter what it is, no matter how small. And I thought, well, okay. So I did start out with small things that I normally took for granted. But as you go through life, you begin to realize that these things really aren't that small. They're just things to be grateful for. So, you know, grateful for my home, you know, and my husband and my children and all of those kinds of things I began to write down. And then after a while, I found myself beginning to look for things during the course of the day to be grateful for. And it kind of took me off of that other script that was running in the back of my mind, all the things that aren't going well, you know. And over time, I really began to feel better. And I began to see that some of the things that I was grateful for, there was even things beyond that that I was working on that I wanted to be grateful for. So I started thanking God in advance for those things that hadn't happened yet, but I was believing would happen. And that kind of subconsciously caused me to start looking for things that could support that. You know, how can I make that happen? What things can I do? And I found myself more in a proactive mode instead of a reactive mode. And I found myself feeling more joyful. Finding things, to me, joy is where I really want to be, because happiness kind of comes and goes, you know, it's cyclical or whatever. But joy is something you can learn to have even when circumstances aren't that great. It reminds me of Paul in the Bible. There's a story about, of course, he was in prison, and evidently the prison had sewage coming up to his knees. I mean, this was not a place at all where you would think joy would be. But he wrote in Corinthians that he learned to have joy even in his current circumstances. And whenever I start to feel myself slipping in that area, I think about that. I think about, you know, what I have to be grateful for. And I also think about what it feels like to have joy even when things aren't going well. And it's helped me to kind of stay that course of staying well.
You're right. And you know what? Here's the thing. You cannot have a positive life with a negative mind. Being grateful allows you to stay on that positive side and positive aspect of life, where you are anticipating only good to happen to you. And when bad things happen, which sometimes our lives have to be completely shaken up, changed, rearranged, relocated, I mean, so that we can get to the place that we are meant to be. So what does that mean? It means that people cannot focus on gratitude at those moments when lives are being shaken, changed, and things are changing. At that moment, you don't find anything that you can be grateful for. But guess what? That's the time that you need to, you know, to be still and find out how you can, you know, be grateful for just being alive, for just being able to be shaken and changed around. Because by doing so, you start to see yourself in this new you that you are becoming, because that's what it's all about. You're becoming someone. So here's how I learned, you know, to do this. I set my alarm on my phone at 12 o'clock midday every day as a gratitude reminder that whatever I'm doing, because I've noticed that if I don't do that, sometimes the days go by so fast and I'm in the midst of doing things and I get frustrated or I'm just busy. But I take that time as one, my breathing time, as also my gratitude time. And what do? I either write down what I'm grateful for, which I have a gratitude journal with me, or I say it out loud to myself. And And the more I say it, the more I figure out, you know, I mean, find out what's going through the day that I'm grateful for. I'm never short of anything to say or to write. There's always a lot of things that I can write. So I hope that as you're listening out there, you can also do the same thing. Set a time that is convenient for you, that you think, you know what, I would like my reminder at this time, and then write down the things that you're grateful for or say them out loud. And you know what I like, Linus, I'm not quite sure, I want to, you know, talk to you about how you did it with your children, but I work with families. I'm also a therapist for families, and what I encourage the families to do is to have gratitude moments as a family, where they're sitting down and talking about the things that they're grateful for. That way the kids are taught, you know, about gratitude, then the families get to be grateful about, you know, their children, and they, you know, exchange what they're grateful about. And the feedback has been, oh wow, we never thought that it would work, but otherwise we're getting excited, because then we always anticipate and wonder what the next person is going to bring up is something that they're grateful for that evening when they discuss the gratitude, you know, at their tables. What did you do with your family? Because I know you're a mom.
Yes, I have four daughters and they're all grown now. But when they were little, during our family dinner time was when everybody got to share something good that had happened. We tried to focus on something good instead of the something bad, because they're always talking about, you know, what happened on the playground or what happened in their teacher's class, whatever. And usually it was something that was kind of, you know, negative in nature. But and that's why we said, you know, we're going to change that. What happened that was good for you today? And that's how I began to teach my children about that. Although at that time, we weren't calling it gratitude. At the time, we were just saying what we were thankful for. But it kind of paved the way for me to share later. Because, you know, as your children get older and become adults, you kind of go from a hands-on parenting role to more of a coaching role. And as I began to learn these techniques on, you know, how to feel better with my anxiety and my stress, I shared them with my daughters. And so they kind of already knew about the being thankful thing for, but I'm happy to say that one Christmas about 3 or 4 years ago, I made journals for all my children. I got these journals and I personalized them, and I put certain notes on pages and things like that. And that was one of their gifts for Christmas. And I'm glad to say they've continued that. That was their gratitude journal, and they still use that now to this day. And I think it was, for me, it was important because I knew that I had the propensity for anxiety, and that some of it is founded in chemical imbalance. I do know that. And I think maybe one or two of my daughters might have the same thing. So they already feel like they're somewhat ahead of the game, and they use their gratitude journal to quell their anxiety and fears and worries. And sometimes it helps them by going back over what they've written, they told me, to read it again, to say, okay, that's right, that happened, that was really good yesterday. Okay, let me look further and see what else happened that, you know, can get me out of this feeling anxious all the time. The other thing with my daughters that comes from a coaching perspective instead of parental perspective is the communication. We use each other, but mostly they to me as sounding boards, just to be able to get it out, what it is they're feeling, venting or whatever, instead of trying to keep it in. I encourage that with them because they're in a safe place with me, and I feel really blessed that I can do that with my children, because I have some friends that have adult children that they just don't speak to that often. Or when they do, it's very superficial. Through the years, because of the constant communication that we always had with our kids growing up, it seemed like a natural segue for them to continue that communication after they got older.
You know, what I like about talking to you as well, you know, the reason why I was so excited to have you was to hear about some of the holistic methods that you've used to deal with the feelings of overwhelm and anxious thoughts. Can you share some of those, you know, methods that you use?
Yes, absolutely. One of the methods that I use, I really do swear by. I truly do believe that it helped to save my life, because it changed the chemicals, the imbalances that I had almost immediately. And that's essential oils. Essential oils are taken from the pure essence of plants. And you want to get the kind of essential oils that are therapeutic. and certified, because some of the oils, like the oils that really smell good that you like to wear, you know, for the fragrance, those aren't necessarily made with the essential ingredients. So you want to do your homework to figure out where to get the essential oils. But I would use them, and I went to aromatherapist, and she taught me how to use them. I had a combination of 9 oils, and I would put them in certain areas of my feet. And she taught me what those areas meant through a reflexology chart, because, you know, at the bottom of your feet, there are certain sections that, you know, help aid the liver or the kidneys, or if you have a headache or whatever. I know it sounds a little crazy, but it's really true. It's been scientifically proven that there are certain areas of our body, if we touch them or apply pressure, or in this case put oil on them, it will help other areas of our body. So I learned to use lavender and sweet orange and clary sage and imbalance combinations to help with the symptoms of anxiety, that overwhelming feeling that you get sometimes when you're stressed out, or that anxiousness, which is, you know, unless you've had it before, it's hard to describe, but it's a horrible feeling. The way I like to describe it is, because I used to feel this way when I would wake up in the morning, it felt like I was going straight downhill in a roller coaster with no restraints. And the only thing that could seem to kind of alter that was a cup of coffee. And I was feeling like that for a good 20 years. I found out later that my anxiousness came from a post-traumatic stress, which was really rooted in how I found out about the death of my mother. Once I did that work from a therapy perspective, I think I was even more so ready to begin to heal by using these essential oils. And I still use them. To this day, I put them on the bottom of my feet. I sometimes put them underneath my nose, on my pulse points, and they really do work. Another holistic method that I use is, of course, meditation, spending quiet time, practicing being present. We live in a society that is so fast-paced that we very rarely allow ourselves to just be. I mean, you know, not reading, you know, not writing in your journal, but just being and just sitting still and listening. It's difficult sometimes for people, especially if they are going through anxiety. But what I coach people to do is to maybe have a scripture or an affirmation or something that they can focus on or say to themselves, or perhaps focus on their breathing. Or if you're visual, maybe focus on that particular spot in the wall, or visualize a place that brings you a feeling of relief and relaxation. Maybe listen to some calming music. All those things can be very helpful when you're just trying to be quiet and just be. And I recommend that, you know, you spend a few minutes a day doing that. I have a friend by the name of Dina Proctor, and she is a life coach, and she wrote a book about meditation and how she learned to meditate and how it helped to cure her from alcoholism and drug abuse. She said she had been to programs and other things, nothing ever worked. So she decided that she was going to start learning how to meditate, because it did bring her some comfort. But the problem was that she could never do it longer than a minute or so. So she decided on a method where she would do it 3 minutes a day, 3 times a day. And it was from doing that method that she learned how to meditate longer and how to bring herself comfort in that way. Many times with meditation, people think, gosh, my, you know, all these racing thoughts, and you're thinking about stuff that's, you know, that you have to do when you finish, and it just can't quiet the mind. But one way to do that, to quiet your mind, is every time a thought comes up, just kind of slide it back, just like you would slide a door, you know, sliding glass door. You open it and you slide it back, just kind of move it back and go back to focusing on whatever it is that you're focusing on. And it gives your body to kind of an opportunity to recalibrate. Many people have lowered their blood pressures through doing that, through meditation. Many people have learned to stop emotional eating through meditation. It can be very powerful, and it gives the body an opportunity to reconnect with itself.
You are tuned in to the Dr. Stem Show. To reach Dr. Stem or her guest, please email us at drstem@americaoutloud.com. Now, back to Dr. Stem for more support, confidence, and hope.
You know, I'm just like inclined to ask you how you have dealt with this menopause where you're sweating in the middle of the day, at night. I mean, you know, so as talking about this holistic treatment, I'm like, okay, I gotta ask her because this is one thing that is not going away anytime soon.
No, anytime soon. I started menopause, I guess, when I was about 51. Oh. And then for some reason, it gave me a break between 55 and 56, and it came back. Mm-hmm. And I'm 59 now, mm-hmm. and I was struggling with hot flashes yesterday. But there's a couple of things that I've learned about it. First of all, the more stressed I am, the more hot flashes I'm going to have. That's the first thing. The second thing is that if I have too much coffee intake, that's going to increase my hot flashes. The other thing I've learned is the nutrition piece is very important. There's certain kinds of foods that you can eat to help you with your hot flashes. And the third thing is, the fourth thing is essential oils. They really help. There's a essential oil combination. The generic name is Clary Sage, which is really helpful for hot flashes, mood swings, and other kinds of weird things that happen while you're going through menopause. Exercise and movement is key towards minimizing hot flashes and other weird, quirky things you have with menopause. It is so important. And I know that when you're going through the menopause thing, the last thing you're thinking about is exercising. But I'm telling you, ladies, if you can incorporate a brisk walk every day, whether it's just walking around the block, 5-10 minutes a day, that makes a huge difference in your hot flashes, mood swings. Another thing that's very helpful is there's certain herbal teas that you can drink that really make a difference. I drink thistle, and also, and the name is escaping me right now, something very common. Boy, I hope it comes back to me soon before we conclude our interview, Dr. Stem. I'm having a brain fog.
A moment.
Yeah, a brain fog. That's exactly what happens with menopause. And
no,
I think
but
the other
helps.
Thing that is really important while you're going through these changes is to love yourself through those changes. There's nothing wrong with you in terms of, you know, you're too old, you're a bad person, you're dumb, you're stupid. No, you're a woman who's going through the natural progression of life. And I think that when we get angry and frustrated with ourselves as we go through this, it makes the symptoms even worse.
You're right.
Give yourself a break. And love yourself through it, and then educate yourselves. I think educating yourselves is one of the key things that you can do. There's so much information out there, and everybody is different. So you may want to try different things. I know that black cohosh, C-O-H-O-S-H, that is a tea, it's an herb. And you can get it in the pill form, you can get it in the gel form, or you can get it as a tea. But it is great for hot flashes. It's also great for the kind of swelling that we do, you know, mm-hmm. kind of boiling up a little bit. And let me say something else about that piece. Okay. Many times when we're going through stress, there is a hormone called cortisol that is secreted. And that cortisol is a thickening hormone, basically. It causes the body to thicken, especially in the stomach area. And it is also secreted during menopause. So when you're stressed out and also going through menopause, that's a double whammy. Mm. And that's where you get that muffin top and that thickening. And it seems like no matter how much you diet, it doesn't go away. Well, the reason why is that the causation is rooted in your hormones, and probably the possibility that not only are you getting it through menopause, but also stress. Another reason why spending that quiet time is so important. If you want to find a way to impact change in terms of that belly, believe me, meditation helps. Those brisk walks to lower your stress levels, they really do help. Yoga, which is very restorative and in helping with stress, also can be very helpful when reducing cortisol. So those are just some of the few holistic ways. And also methods that can help you take back control over your bodies, because we do get thicker as we get older. And part of it is menopause, but a lot of it has to do with not doing the things that we need to do from a holistic standpoint to reduce our stress.
Thank you for those. I mean, that's quite a few choices that you gave us. And you know what? You're right, because when I'm exercising consistently, I don't have these, you know, sweat bouts that come through on a daily basis when I'm not. But then the thing that I have also realized is, you know, at age 51, now I'm 51, huh? At age 51, I'm realizing that I cannot no longer do the same things that I used to do when I was 30 years old. Just ignoring my body and just eating what I want to eat and not exercising. I mean, you know, menopause to me came as a reminder to say, hello, take care of yourself. Yes. You know, it's time to look at yourself and do a me, to take time away from everything and just find time to relax, to exercise, to eat well, to read something, to listen to music, to just go and be with people that you know make you happy and joyful. But it's a me time. Menopause saying, hey, take care of yourself, don't forget about you. That's what, you know, that symbolizes for me. And I know you talk about self-care and self-love. What role do they play in reducing stress and anxiety from your perspective?
I think it means everything to take that time to take good care of you and to give yourself a break and to love yourself anyway. We're all a work in progress. None of us are perfect. And it's abusive not to learn to love yourself. There was a big debate we had once with my friends on Facebook. They were talking about, what's this whole self-care, self-love thing? That doesn't work. There's no way, but it does. Learning to love yourself is instrumental when it comes to learning to love others. And the first step in learning to love yourself is forgiveness. And I'm sure, Dr. Stim, you talk with your patients all the time about this kind of thing. Holding on and beating ourselves up on things and our abuses of the past, whatever they are, is not constructive. And we need to learn to let that go and totally forgive ourselves and begin to move forward, you know, looking forward to the other positive things that life brings. Taking the time for those long baths, taking girlfriend time and spending time with your friends and having a good time. I'm doing it and doing some of your favorite things that you've kind of put to the side. Those are all forms of self-care. I mean, one of the things I love to do, and it's one self-care thing, and we've talked about this before, Dr. Stim, is playing. Finding things that you like to do that are fun, that bring you joy. I mean, one of the things I love to do, there's two things I love to do, and one of them is color. I love coloring. It just takes me out of myself. Many times some of my best ideas come through my coloring. I love, you know, looking at the different colors and which crayon I can choose or which pencil I can choose. And another thing is I love playing with my grandchildren. It's funny because I really didn't play that much with my kids because I was so busy doing all the time. I have four of them and they were all close together. So they played with each other. So I don't think they suffered that much, but I wish now that I had taken more time to play with them because it would have been fun. I have fun playing with my grandchildren. I was in one of those jumpy things the other day at a birthday party. And oh my God, it was exhilarating jumping up and down. And it was fantastic. And I felt great. I knew that my feel good hormones were kicking in because I felt so joyful doing that. So find out what brings you joy. Makes you laugh, you know, going to a funny movie. Last night, I was watching an old movie with Cary Grant, one of my favorite actors. I was watching Arsenic and Old Lace, and I was laughing out loud, and my daughter was like, what is it that you're looking at that's so funny? And I said, oh, I'm watching this movie that was made in 1944, and she's looking at me like, what? But it was funny to me. So those are all forms of self-care. It doesn't matter if others know, if others look at you weird and wonder why you're doing it. Many times the things that bring you joy are the things that you embark upon yourself, not things that maybe people do with you because they're not you. But, you know, many times the things that you secretly enjoy that you wish you could do, go ahead and make the time and do them.
I'm one of those people that, you know, when I'm in the mood, I'm in my car and I'm driving somewhere and people are looking at me like, what is she doing? I'm singing. I put my gospel music on and I'm in church right in my car. So I love doing that. But one of the things that I do for play is I actually create podcasts with gospel music, and I send them out. You know, I have a channel on YouTube, you know, the Dr. Stem channel that's on YouTube, where you can find my podcasts for gospel music. And I do that to inspire and encourage, you know, people through music. But then guess what? I'm doing it for myself, because each time that I do that, my mood and the selection of the music there is like so exciting that I can do that. I also send out a dose of motivation at least once a week, where I will record something, or I will write up something, which is a dose of encouragement, you know, for people. And people do send me emails and say, hey, can you send me that dose? So at first I used to just send it to my friends, and now I have, you know, quite a couple thousand people that I send in my emails, you know, to send in that email. So those are some of the things that if you can find something that makes you tick, that's what we say, you know, find something that make you tick, that make you laugh, that gets you out of that gloomy day-to-day stuff that, oh, I'm a mother, I'm a wife, I'm, you know, I'm just coming from work and I'm bored and I'm this here. Find something that brings that, you know, happier, laughing person, joyful person that you are. I like that, you know, about play.
I love that idea. That's fantastic. Yeah, that's, I hear you. I'll have to listen in on one of your podcasts. That sounds great.
Oh, yeah. I do gospel music. I do gospel music. Guess what? Our time is running out. So I want the people to know where they can find you, because you know what? I was on your website and I found this Distress the Mess, Minimizing the Impact of Stress on Your Body, Maximizing the Joy in Your Life. And I loved that. So I'm sure a lot of people would even, you know, benefit from that Distress the Mess, program that you have on there.
Yes.
How can they find you?
Well, actually, a couple of ways. You can go to my website at praiseworks.biz, and there, that's the portal to all of my products and services. I have a book that was written along with other professionals in the field of wellness and stress reduction called Distress the Mess, Maximize the Impact of Joy. Or is it? Yeah, Minimize the Stress of Your Life, Maximize the Joy. That has a wonderful little book, ebook, that has all kinds of information of things that you can do from a holistic standpoint to reduce your stress. And then I also have the Wellness Woman 40 and Beyond Living and Wellness Academy. And if you just Google Wellness Woman 40 and Beyond, the academy will come up. My magazines will come up. The academy has some free courses, and we also have some paid courses, and they're all geared towards wellness for that mind-body-spirit connection. There's a course called Distress the Mess, and in that course, I give you 21 de-stress formations, basically 21 tips that are holistic that you can do, and I go into some detail about, you know, how you can do them, how you can work them in. And you can take the course in one day, or you can take the course in 21 days. It's up to you. It's self-directed. But it's a fabulous course, because it really gives you some great ideas on what you can do. And this way you get a chance to find out what resonates with you. And also, please follow me on my social media, which is on my website, praiseworks.biz. And on social media, I'm always giving all kinds of information and tips on holistic living and how to stay well after 40.
Wow, thank you so much. It was a pleasure having you on the show, Linus. Well, you've been listening to the Dr. Stem Show. Here we believe that life is indeed very short. You have three choices. You either give up, give in, or give it your all.